this evening. Hope you all are having a wonderful week. I am. It's a good week. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be a Christian. Good time. Brother Branham said there's the best time. That was 50 years ago he said that. You think it got worse since then? No. No, not if we really believe what we claim to believe, because brother and sister, in the very, very near future, we're going home. We're going out and we're gonna go through a time that is greater than any other group of Christians have ever gone through. Oh my. It's really here. It's really here. Tomorrow's going to be just like today and the next day. No, it's not. Things are changing. If you think today is like yesterday or last week or something, look around you. This world's getting darker and we're getting lighter. It sure is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we can come here tonight. Father, it's just a privilege. Father, it's more than a privilege. It's the greatest thing, Lord, to be able to gather with believers and know that you're here with us. You called us together because you wanted to speak to us. Father, we just wait now, Father, to hear what you have to say. And help us then, Lord, to receive it and to believe what you say, Lord, to accept it and to recognize it really is talking about us. You really do care. You really are here. This is a reality. This isn't just some social gathering, something we're putting on or just a religious act. But, Father, we're here to hear from the very God, the Creator, the Lover, the Savior of all mankind. And, Lord, you called us here for this. So tonight, Lord, don't let this be a waste of time, Lord, Father, but let it be when you make yourself known to us. Bless the ones who can't be here tonight, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you're turning your Bible, let's go to 1 Peter to begin with. And we're going to read out of John also, 1 John. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. That's weird. It's the same in John as 4:17. I didn't notice that. Anyways, 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, 1 John 4:17. And actually, this is the scripture part of that Brother Jerry used Sunday morning when he preached, and when he was reading the opening scripture, something just struck my heart right then. I think, oh my goodness, there it is. That's what I had to preach, and so here we are. And so I'm kind of piggybacking off what Brother Jerry is saying, but just going a little different angle. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to speak on the thought of day of salvation and day of judgment. Day of salvation and day of judgment. We're going to find out, brother and sister, really quickly, that it's the same day. And it's today. And it's always been today for every believer down through time. Every day for you is the day of judgment and it's your day of salvation. It just depends on what you need and where you're at. Amen? So, he said, judgment must begin at the house of God. That's why we come here. That's why we come to church, because the ministry is put in place to bring God's judgment. It's the rod and the staff. He said, David said, thy rod and thy staff, they come from me. It becomes to a point when God brings chastening, we stop getting a bad attitude. We say, oh, I don't like this, but it's good for me. So I'm going to say amen and take it. That's what a mature Christian does. You say, well, a mature Christian doesn't need chastening. In some fantasy land, he doesn't. But in reality, yes, he does too. We don't get to a place where we don't need the chastening of God anymore. We don't. And that's why he says you need to become like a child. We need to get the attitude of a child. It says, whatever you need to do, Papa God, here I am. You need to spank me? Okay, go ahead. Just get it over with. Amen? That's the attitude you take. That's a mature attitude. I'll tell you what that immature attitude is. You ain't going to preach to me like that. I've been around this message longer than you. You think you got something you can tell me? That's a a rebellious teenager. I don't care if you're 90 years old, you're a rebellious teenager spiritually. Amen. So let's look at this. 1 John, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." So right away, we look at this day of judgment. It's not talking about the great white throne judgment. It's not talking about judgment day as when everyone is gathered together, because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. All right? So we're talking about the day of judgment as being this day. Like Peter said, judgment begins at the house of God. So we are talking about as he is in this world, we can have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. This is what's going on right now. So we can have boldness today. Today. We don't need boldness on judgment, on the white throne judgment, because brother and sister, we're going to have a body change. We're not going to need any boldness there. We're going to, we are who we are. But now is when you're going to have to have boldness, because Paul says, we need to approach boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy in time of need. So brother and sister, today, while we are going through this life, we need to be bold in what we're doing when we're approaching God. And we can do that because we see the way he is, so are we. And he says, herein is our love made perfect, because the way he is, we are, and we see that we're going through the judgment and we're becoming more like him. And the more like him we get, the more bold we can become and say, I know who I am. I know what God is doing in my life. Why? Because I'm becoming just like him. So how do you get to that point? You go through the day of judgment. And it becomes your day of salvation if you accept the judgment. Listen to what Brother Branham said. Let me tell you something. Over in 1 John 4:17, we find out that heart, that rebuking hard is only love projecting itself for the judgment. Let me read that again. We found out that rebuking hard is only love projecting itself for the judgment. It's not talking about for judgment day. It's talking about right now judgment. So when we have the rebuke, the hard preaching and all, it's love projecting itself. It's bringing us to perfect love, because it's creating Christ in us. And we can look at what he was and what he is today, and we look at us ourselves. We say, well, I'm becoming just like him. That's the goal, isn't it? To be like Jesus. And when you see that happening, brother and sister, listen, we need to start being bold and claiming what God is doing for us. We need to start seeing it and recognizing and acknowledging that God really is doing this in our life. Here's why so many times we want to do. We're like that little kid back there. He, for a while, he couldn't walk. And he might have said, you know, I walk just like daddy. But I can't walk like that, so I'm just going to sit here. And we might say, oh, someday I'm going to be a great spiritual giant, but I'm just going to sit here till it happens. It ain't never going to happen with that attitude. You know how he started walking? He started crawling first. And then after a while, he started standing up. And you know what happened? He fell down. And you know what he did? He started walking again. And he fell down. He got up. And after a while, he starts walking. And now he can walk, but he can't walk as good as his daddy, can he? His daddy can go out and run 5 miles. He can ride bike 30 miles. Can he? No, but if he keeps walking, he will get there, won't he? But you know what we do spiritually? Well, I just failed again. I think I'm going to just sit here and I don't know if I should even claim to be a Christian or not. I don't even know if I should try. I don't even have enough courage to go to church anymore because I'm such a failure. Well, then sit there, you little baby, and don't crawl. Don't walk. Just sit there. Guess where you're going to be in 20 years? Still sitting there. You got to be bold. God is doing something in your life, and how dare you not claim it? Oh, my goodness. So you go and do something for someone. Your brother Paul's birthday, I go and buy him, give him something for his birthday. He takes it, well, I deserve this. He walks away. Well, at least say thank you. God does something for us, and we're like, well, I'm such a failure. Oh my goodness, come on! Start moving forward! Oh, recognize that he's doing something in your life! Recognize, oh, it should give us such joy! We have these troubles and trials, but we can see that God is doing something, and it should give us such an energy! Let's go forward! Oh, I know it's Thursday night, and I'm tired, and you're tired, but oh my goodness, look what God is doing among us. Oh, claim that. Be bold. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy in your time of need. I said, I feel like such a failure, Brother Phil. I've done so many things wrong this week. I don't have the courage. I cannot always say, God, to pray this. I feel so condemned. Good, you should. You should feel condemned. You should feel like a loser. And now you need to stop going by your feelings and go by what the Word says about you. If you're doing horrible and you're just dancing around, yeah, I did bad today, okay, so what? Yeah, don't call yourself a Christian. You're a disgrace. But if you come boldly to the throne of grace, and find mercy and forgiveness for your sin. Don't walk away still feeling down. You don't need to do penance. God did all the penance that's needed on Calvary. All he's looking for is a penitent heart. That's all he wants. Oh, my. You'll excuse me if I get a little happy up here. But I got something to be happy about. That word boldness, can I read what it means? It says, freedom in speaking. Now think about when you're condemned and you go to God for forgiveness. Let me ask you if you come this way. Freedom in speaking. Unreservedness in speech, openly, frankly. As in, well, God, I know I'm not doing right, but you got to understand. No, we don't have to understand. Open up. Be honest with yourself. Brother Brandon said, if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with God. Stop making excuses. Walk up and say, God, you know what a horrible failure I was today. I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way. But you died so I could change. God, I made a mistake, but if you know, if he wouldn't have cussed me out, I wouldn't have cussed him back. All right, just know that there's more judgment coming. Because if you go to your daddy like that, what's he gonna do? Are you serious? You're not owning your own behavior? You're blaming it on someone else? Where's my belt? It means without concealment. It's open. Why? You're bold. Look, this boldness is not the worldly boldness, like I'll get in your face and tell you off. This ain't boldness like, well, you can't tell me nothing. This ain't boldness like, let me tell you, I cannot quote the prophet to you. That ain't what this is. This is humility. When you are truly humble and you're not protecting yourself anymore, you can be free. You can trust. You know, and I've used this example before. You ever see a dog that's been beat all its life and is terrified of everything? And it wants to be petted so bad, and it's quivering, and it's come, and it's slinking along the ground, and it comes slinking up to you, and it's all, it's like, oh, and you just want to say, stop it. I'm not going to hurt you. But he's been beat down so much that he's afraid of everybody. How many Christians are like that around this message? They're terrified. God's going to clobber them with his big hammer. I'm going to send you to hell for that. Oh, that legalistic spirit. You know how I hate that. Living in fear. God says, come to me openly. Trust me. But you're going to punish me. Well, of course I'm going to punish you. That's what parents do. It's called love. And when you've been taught that that is not love, that punishment, that correction is coming, I'm going to get you. That's not love.
Love is when I have to do this, not because I want to, but because you need it. It's for your own good. It's not because I'm angry with you, because I love you. And when you have parents who raise you like that and you recognize that's the way God is, then you know who God is. You can pick up, you can trust God. But if you haven't had parents like that who corrected you that way, then you got to learn that from God, and it's a lot harder. You can still do it. Don't go blaming your parents. Sorry. You don't get to blame your parents. You get to go up and say, I'm a grown-up, God. I know that this was, you know, maybe not the best of my life, but I make my own choices now. It ain't my mama's fault. It ain't my daddy's fault. It's my fault. If I was 10 years old, maybe I would have something to cry about, but I haven't even reached the age of accountability yet. By the time I'm 40 years old or 50 or 90 or whatever, I'm my own person. I make my own decisions. I look at the things. My dad, you know, I got to say this. My dad was a very harsh person when he came to correction. I was terrified. And I projected that onto God. And when I do something wrong, I thought God was going to treat me the way my daddy did. Every kid's that way, brother and sister. I had to learn God wasn't that way. You know how long it took? A long time. So what am I going to do? Well, my dad did this way, so I guess I just... I'm going to use that excuse to go to hell? I don't think so. It's time for me to grow up and say, you know what? If I was perfect, then I could find fault with my dad. When I start living a perfect life, then I can go up to my dad and say, boy, you sure blew it with me. Until I get perfect, I need to shut up. Because if I would have had kids... mercy. They would be coming up to me, Dad, you sure blew, and I'd have to say, yes, I did. I know what kind of a parent I would have been when I was in my 20s and 30s. I'd have been a horrible parent. Wow, this is not in my notes. Boldness. Without ambiguity. Free. Now listen, you're repenting. You come boldly to the throne of grace. And you come with free and fearless confidence. Free and fearless confidence. Does that mean you come walking up, hey God, I'm here to repent again. Yes, sir, let's get this over with. Of course not. That's not humble. That's not penitent. But you come up fearless because you know that He is going to forgive you. He's called you to come. There's no fear. You're free. And it says, cheerful courage. Cheerful. How do you get cheerful courage, brothers? Well, when you're feeling, when you've made a mistake and you're all beat down, whatever, how you get cheerful? Well, probably not. You're not going to be cheerful during that time. But brother and sister, you come up knowing that there's, it might not be in your mental ability or in your mind, whatever, that, oh, I'm cheerful. But in your heart, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a cheerfulness, there's something that says, I know that when I get done with this, I'm going to be back in good standing with God. My, and you know how long it takes? 1 second. I'm sorry. And from your heart, God says, it's gone. Now, sometimes you might have to pray and pray through a little bit. You might not, you know, it might take a while or something like that. But when God forgives you, you're forgiven. Can you accept that? Do you have the boldness to accept what God says? Can I read something the prophet said about boldness? Our Heavenly Father, we are approaching Thy throne of grace, not Thy throne of justice. Lord, we could not stand it. We don't ask for justice. We'd be lost. We ask for grace. And we come because Thou bid us to come. He said, come. Well, then if you don't come, whose fault is it? We make a mistake and we had to lay around in our Molly Grub doldrums for 3 days, just like being miserable. Well, you think God's impressed? Look how sorry he is. He's laying there feeling miserable about what he did. Oh, that's really sweet. Not in reality. He's thinking, why are you trying to be a Catholic who is doing penance? Why don't you be a believer and accept my grace, accept the blood that was shed for you? Why do you lay there like that? My goodness, get up and walk. We have the promise that we will receive what we ask for if we'll come boldly, not doubting. We will receive what we ask for if we come boldly, not doubting. It goes for everything, not just forgiveness. What do you have need of? Can you come boldly to it? You know, in about, I don't know how long, 6 months, a year or something, that little child back there, he's going to come up to, Mommy, I want something to eat. He might do it already. Probably not. His mom's not going to smack him down and say, get away from me. I don't have time for you. You made me mad yesterday. No, she's going to give him what he wants. He can come and know that mom is going to take care of him. Why is it so hard for us to believe our Heavenly Father loves us more than our natural parents? Why is it so hard for us to believe that? Because so many times we come asking for the wrong thing or asking for it in the wrong way and we didn't get it. And so, well, maybe he's not going to give it to me this time. He's going to give you what you need. Don't you have that kind of confidence in him? I look back at my life, and if he could give me everything I wanted, you know what I would be? I'd be in prison, I'd be dead, I'd be miserable, I'd be whatever. But he knows what I need, he knows when to give it. Amen. I wasn't even gonna get to this quote, but it's on my heart. Let me read this. Hebrew children, fiery furnace, right? They said, our God's able to deliver us. Now listen, Brother Branham said this. They had no revelation of it, no more than that. But said, however, we'll not bow down to that image. What was it? They were expressing their faith in the word of God, and God expressed himself back and reflected. So they went up, they said, you either bow down or we're going to throw you in the furnace. And they said, well, God's able to. We don't know if he's going to or not, but we're not going to bow down anyways. Why? Because they had a revelation that he was worth dying for. He was going to take care of them. And if it was his will, they'd go and burn up. Then they're willing to go burn up. And if they wanted to, he could save them from it. But they were trusting him completely. They didn't know what it was going to be. They did not have the revelation that he was going to come there and save their life. They walked into the flames not knowing. Oh, if we could get to that, brother and sister. We don't know. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to hold back. I'm kind of fearful. You need to stop that. I don't know what's going to happen, but he's taken care of me this far, and he promised he'd take care of me the rest of the way, and I'm getting out of here anyway one day. So if this is my time to die, then let me die, but let me die believing him. Amen. That's what he's looking for. And so they stepped in there, and he said, I like that faith, boys. I'm going to come in there with you. My. He lets you get sick. You don't know what's going to happen. Sometime it reveals to you. Like we were talking the other day, sister. Sometime it comes and reveals and says, I'm going to heal you. And sometime he doesn't. And what's he wanting to do? He wants you to say, whatever you do, I trust you. I'm willing to go through the fire, through the flood, through the water, through the mud. I don't care. I'm going to trust him because he is one who's taking care of me. He loves me more than I love myself. Oh, he wants us to get to that kind of faith when we don't know. And yet we still believe him because we're walking on what he has revealed to us already. What has he revealed to you? He's revealed that he loves me. Well, my goodness, that's enough. if you're natural, if you have confidence that your natural parents were going to take care of you as a kid, how much more is he going to take care of you now? But it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to hurt. You're going to go through hard times, and you're going to go through good times, and you're going to go through crazy times, and you're going to go times you don't understand, and all he wants to do is say, do you still trust me? Do you still trust me? That's all he's looking for. Oh, that's why he has the judgment. That's why we come here and we sit through this judgment. This is our training. Oh, this is going to be happy. You join an army. You join a military force that's to fight. But you got to be taught how to fight first. I joined the Marine Corps. They didn't give me a uniform and a rifle and sent me off to Iraq to fight. They said, no, you got to go train first. It was before that anyways. They don't go and say, here's your weapon, here's your tank, here's your airplane, go bomb some enemy. No, you go through training first. And guess what the training is? Misery. It's hard. They go and they take you in there and they treat you like a dog. They know they don't. People treat their dogs much better than we got treated. They do. They get under your skin. They get up next to you. They get you upset. They get you stressed. And they do it on purpose. I remember one time after our boot camp, our captain got us together. NCO said, we need to stress the troops more than the Marines. They got it too easy. So there's this one. We have like four platoons, and one platoon, their platoon sergeant, he went hog wild, and he was always he'd get his platoon up in the middle of the night. Let's go, we're going to clean the barracks. Let's go, we're going to go for a march. Let's go, we're going to do this, whatever. And he had them just doing this. The rest of us were lazying around and having a big old time after work, and we'd get off at 4 o'clock, and they'd get off at 8 or 9. Oh, they were miserable. And we look at them and say, man, I'm glad I'm not in that platoon. But you know what the best platoon was? It was them. And if we would have gone to combat, you know who I would want to be attached to? Them. Now, take that spiritually. What platoon are you sitting in? You can sit in a lot of platoons around here with all kinds of message pastors and teaching and all that, and you can be laid back and lax just like the rest of us were. Or you can be in a platoon where your drill sergeant is actually drilling you. Where they're actually training you. Where they're stressing you out. You know why you have to stress you out? Because if you learn how to deal with stress in peacetime, when the bullets start flying, you have the better chance that you're going to keep your head on straight because you can deal with it easier. It's true. And you know what else happens? I told you this story before. Let me tell you it again. I went to boot camp, and there's a kid there that we just didn't like each other. We bumped heads, and for the first 2 to 3 weeks, we were just always like butting each other's head. And finally, and this was in boot camp, he came to me one day. He said, listen, I don't like you. You don't like me. But as long as we're here, we might as well get along to make it easier, because it's crazy for us to be butting heads when we got the enemy out there called a drill instructor who's butting our heads for us. He was a better man than I was. I said, yes, sir, let's do that. And we got along. We never became best friends, but we got along fine. Why? Because we had a common enemy, and it wasn't each other. And brother and sister, once we ever figure that out as a body of Christ, our battle's going to be a lot easier, because we have a common enemy, and surely we can unite against him instead of butting heads with each other. Oh my goodness, if you are butting heads with each other in here, you are not fighting your job. Your job is to fight the devil. You're letting the rest of the people fight the devil so you can butt heads with each other. You really have that kind of energy? You really have time to butt heads with each other when the devil is our enemy? Oh my goodness, go to the battlefront and start turning your guns on the enemy instead of each other. We don't have time for this. It amazes me sometimes. We are on the verge of a rapture. We are fighting the hardest battle ever fought. And we have time to turn our guns on each other. Well, he said this about me. Oh, holy you. Your feelings got hurt. Glory be. You know what you need, of course. You need more boot camp. You need to get over yourself. You know what? At first couple of weeks in boot camp, it didn't bother me at all. I was having a ball. And one of the drill instructors figured out, because one time I get a little pout. He told me to do something, I kind of like had an attitude. And oh my goodness, he came unglued. He got in my face, and by the time he was done, I was not having a ball anymore. Hey, it ain't funny. He said, Private Bontrager, he said, I don't like you. He was a great big Samoan fella. Staff Sergeant Figueroa. And he was a big old small, and he had this mean face, and he got in your face, and he said, I am going to watch you, and I'm going to make you miserable, and I'm going to kick you out of here, and I do not like you. And he meant it, and he did it, and I hated it. And my time of fun was over, and I could not wait for boot camp to get over after that. What was it? He knew that he had to break through this old self and crush me down so he could make something out of me, make a Marine. And by the time I was done, he had done it. The house of judgment, brother and sister, where perfect love projects. Oh my, perfect love projects to bring us to our day of salvation. Bring us to a rapture. Bring us to what God has for us, to be like Jesus. That's all he's trying to do. And when you look at yourself and you see Christ being formed in you, don't you dare let Satan talk you out of that. Don't you dare, this maybe just me. Well, maybe that was just something No, there's no maybe to it. It was God doing something. But when you see it and you go with it, oh, maybe, or I don't know, you just ripping that right out of there that he started growing. He said, well, I got to start again. You know what it is? It's a little kid learning to walk and he falls down. So he sits there and cries, oh, I fell down again. Or I'm afraid to get up and try again because I know I'll fall down again. I think I'll just crawl. Because I bragged, I boasted what God had did one time. And then the next time it didn't happen. And so what does that mean? It's called a test. I was testifying to people at work about the mighty things of God, and then next thing you know, I went and did something horrible. They looked at me and said, oh, so you're a Christian, huh? So I'm just afraid to say anything anymore. You know what I'm talking about. I remember a couple of times I was seeking the Holy Ghost, and I got to a point. I said, I am never going to claim to be a Christian again until I know that I'm born again. And God made me eat those words more than once. He said, that's not the attitude I want you to have. You have confidence in what I'm doing in your life. You walk. You take the steps that I give you. You take the baby steps until you can walk. Bigger until you can run, but you got to start with the little steps. You got to confess what God is doing in your life if you expect him to keep going. Because if you don't, it's called unbelief. He said, it's only because of love. If you seen your little child out in the street going to get killed, would you say, all right, Junior, Ricky, honey, you just sat right there. You having a good time? You'd be a poor mother or a poor daddy. You'd get him in there. If he did it again, you'd turn him over your arms and give him what he ought to have. That's the way God does it. You don't say it to be mean. You say it for love. People got all things mixed up thinking love is some little puppy dog something. Love is straight. God rebukes and chastens because of love. God is love. I hope that soaks in just as deep as I intend it to do. See, it's love that corrects. It's corrective. And general on love will stand correction. Puppy dog, pat on the back and Dr. So-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, sometimes it makes the Holy Spirit cry within your heart. When people come and project Jesus as a sweet, kind, oh, I just would never say anything bad to you kind of person, he says it makes the Holy Spirit cry. You said that ain't love. You preach, how do you preach in your congregation? Oh, as long as we just get along with everybody. Didn't you just say we should get along with everybody? Yeah, you should get along with everybody. You should love him enough to shut your mouth. But you don't go up and say, oh, brother, I should love you. I know you're doing wrong, but you know what? God loves us all, so don't worry about it. That ain't love. We got so politically correct. We don't argue with anyone. Of course we don't argue with anyone, but you stand for the truth. If people saw Jesus today, the way he did back then, they say, well, Jesus, you're not really, you're too argumentative. Okay. Say, well, someone dies in a great denominational service, all the deacons come around, the great presbyters, they have a great service. The businessmen association come and say, our precious brother who built this, our precious brother who built that, he's way yonder in the arms of glory, just having a wonderful time. And the Bible said he lifted up his eyes in hell. He's sending that man of a poor in spirit out yonder with his inheritance. Love will keep you from hell. But it ain't some puppy dog, oh, we just get along and do a group hug and we're just going to be nice to each other. See, Brother Phil, you're just contradicting yourself. A minute ago you said we should get along with each other. Now you're saying we shouldn't. No, I'm not. Puppy dog love. Look, when we're out, we're talking, whatever, get along with each other. But brother and sister, you are going to have problems with each other. We are going to butt heads. It's nature. It's human nature. But how do you respond to that? Does that person even know that you butted heads with them? That they butted heads with you? See, that's where you're starting to grow up. Where they hurt your feelings and they have no clue. Ain't that amazing? Jesus is your example. They did all kinds of stuff. Did he ever lash out at them? That's what we're talking about. But now when things were wrong, when it was time to speak up for the word, did he speak up for the word? Yes, he did. Did he love him or did he hate him? When he said, you are your father, the devil, was that love or hate? Tell me it was hate. I dare you. See, if a preacher would say that today, everyone would say, you're a hater. I said, I'm saying what Jesus said. Well, he was Jesus. Well, is he not the same ministry? Is he not the same, or is he? People just don't like that. Makes them uncomfortable. You know, puppy dog love, everyone's just fine. We're gonna have problems, brother and sister. We're gonna have problems with each other. But don't let it be something that's ongoing. Get it over with and get done and keep moving. We got too many other battles. You know what they say when soldiers go to war, especially like in a foreign land or something. Now, if it's in your backyard, you're fighting right there in your home, that's different. But like, you know, we send Marines to the Pacific during World War II, fighting the Japanese, island hopping, they called it, going from island to island. And they were out there, they're in the jungle, they were miserable, but they would stay and fight. You know why they would stay and fight? They talked to them afterwards. What made you stay and fight? And they talked to, you know, they've done this study many times. The one thing that kept them there was their buddy beside them. Yeah. They weren't doing it trying to be heroes. The heroes got killed or the heroes ran. People, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to win some purple, you know, gold medal or purple heart or medal of honor or something. They were the ones who froze up in battle. They're the ones who were afraid. But the heroes were the ones who acted to save their friend's life. It was their love for their buddy next to them. That's the reason they didn't run, because I could not run and leave my friends sitting here by himself. That's why you fight. It's love. Oh, if the world could figure that out. Why do we fight for each other? We love each other. If we're not fighting for each other, there's a lack of love, brother and sister. That's why Brother Jerry preached what he did Sunday morning. We need perfect love. We need to get over these things. Tempered. Oh, I love that word. I'm so glad he used that. Tempered, strengthened. We go through the highs and lows. We go through the mountain. We go through the desert. It's hot, it's cold. We go through the trials. We go through the good times, the bad. It strengthens us. Look how much stronger you personally are than you were 6 months ago. I wish we could take you back there and put you there and then show you here. And I promise you, you'd be amazed. Some of you, I don't know about all of you, but I know some of you would, because I've seen you get stronger myself with my own eyes. You know what did it? You sat there and accepted the tempering. You accepted the preaching. You accepted the judgment. That's what happens. He said, you have to have correction like that to make genuine love at the time of judgment. You have to have the correction to make genuine perfect love in this world. That's the only way we're going to get to perfect love is if we sit through the day of judgment. That's how you get it. Oh, I want perfect love. I just want to love everybody. I've been in situations where the Spirit of God just flowing through, and I literally just loved people. And I think, oh, I wish this could stay like this. And I think this is God. Heaven, when it's, have you ever been there? You don't know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. And it's so real. And you think, really? Permanently? This is what heaven's going to be like? Oh, my, how could you miss that? But then it goes away. Why? Because you've got more battles to face, more trials to go through. You got to get rid of more yourself. I had to die much more myself so that I could stay there more and become more permanent. Because it can't stay there with my old nature still there, hounding. But that's the way we get it. I tell you what. I have no idea where I'm at anymore in here. Let's go back to boldly a little bit. Gracious Lord, in thy presence we boldly come now, yet humbly, realizing that we have no standing at all, any merits that we could come this way boldly. Realizing that we do not come to God boldly because of our merits. You know, sometimes it's so much easier to pray when you've not been making mistakes, isn't it? And you think, yeah, I'm in good standing with God. You know, there's no condemnation and I have confidence and it's great. I can pray and everything is just fine. It's not hard to come boldly then, is it? Realizing that we still have no merits of our own. If you're leading a victorious life, it's because God has given you the strength and the power and the ability, and he's not leading you in temptation. He's delivering you from evil. But can you come with the same boldness when you beat down? Either way, you have no merit of your own. But we tend to think, well, I have a little merit. I can approach God now because I'm doing pretty good. As if you had something to do with it, you've earned it or something. Oh, get rid of that. Get rid of that. He said, we don't come this, any merit we would come this way boldly, but it's because that we have been asked to come boldly to the throne of grace. He's asked us to. When you need mercy, when you need grace, he says, come to the throne of grace. And come boldly. What? What is that boldness? No doubt. I wonder if this time he's still going to forgive me. I wonder if he still has grace. I wonder if I've crossed the line. Well, you haven't. Or you wouldn't be coming. You haven't crossed the line. You think you'd be sitting in here tonight listening to this if you had crossed the line? You'd be gone a long time ago, brother and sister. Don't ever harbor that thought. He's asked us to come. Then if we don't come, it's called sin. It's unbelief. I know where I'm going to go and I'm going to So tonight, we're standing in judgment. You're standing before the judgment bar. How do you measure up? How do you measure up right now? Let's look at this. He said, it isn't an emotion. It isn't keeping a lot of creeds. So if you're standing here, well, I got emotional, God. I'm following all the rules. He said, it ain't that. He said, it's an experience. It's a birth. First, you have to experience a death before you can witness a birth. Line that right. Experience death, then witness a birth. So that's the first thing. You're standing before the judgment bar. Have you been born again? If you haven't, there's nothing else to do. Don't keep going forward, backward, everything. Stay right there until you have. And if you haven't, don't think that you're going to earn it some way. You're going to get it by believing. I've said this many times, but I got to say it again. You are trotting along in your life, doing whatever, and God justified it. He got a hold of you. Remember that? Sometimes just out of the blue, all of a sudden God started dealing with you. How did you earn that? Why did he do that? He just picked you out, right? And then he just sanctified you. He cleaned your life up, didn't he? And he just did that. All of a sudden you stopped doing things you had been doing. You could sit in church. And then you find out the next thing I need is the Holy Ghost. And so what did you do? All of a sudden you started driving the car. Oh, I got to get the Holy Ghost. Okay, now I'm going to start living good. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to go to the altar every time there's an altar call. I'm going to start going to church every time there's a church. I'm going to listen. I'm going to do all the, oh my goodness, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. You know what God does? He steps back, takes his hand off, and says, okay, you drive. I can't drive while you're driving. But what Satan does, well, he sees when God gets a hold of your life and starts moving in one direction, getting you there, what he does is all of a sudden he grabs, okay, now you got to do something. And he gives you a nudge from the back and you take off and you start trying. And as long as you keep trying, God stands there and says, okay, when you're done, I'll take control again. How many years has it been? You got to let him have control. So first of all, are you born again? If not, give the control back to him and you'll get there. Birth by the word. The word comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word. It's so simple. How do we mess it up so long, brother and sister? Get people chasing to some sensation or something. And yet it was preached all constantly, but it was preached. Anyways, here we go. He said, any seed has to do the same thing. This seed is God, and when it's placed in your heart, it brings forth the birth of a son of God. That's the way Jesus was when he was on earth. He said, who can condemn me of sin? Who can accuse me rather of sin? Sin is unbelief. If you can't believe me, believe the works. Search the scripture, and then you think you have eternal life. They're the ones that testify on me. They're the ones who tell who I am. If I don't meet that qualification, just exactly what the scripture said, the Father said I would be, when I come, if I don't do that, then I've done wrong. You say, what does that have to do with me standing at the judgment bar? Because you put yourself in the same thing, brother and sister. You had to put yourself in the same place. Search the scripture, and then you think you have eternal life. They speak of who you are. If you can't believe the word, can you believe the works you do? Oh, yeah, you. Look at your life. Is it the life of Christ? Is it performing what is supposed to be performed today? I know I say this all the time. I'm going to keep saying it. What is this? August 6th, 7th? I don't know. 2015. August 6th. I think that's the day Hiroshima got bombed. I'm not sure. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. They met their judgment day. What about you? Right now, can you look in the scripture and say, this proves who I am? Because I am fulfilling this word. That's what Jesus said. Now you want to be like Jesus? You have to have the same testimony. Oh, that's where your boldness comes from, and the day of judgment, because as he is, so are you in this world. Isn't that what it says? If Jesus said, search the scripture, and them you think you have eternal life, they testify to me, can you not say the same thing? Someone says, well, you're in some kind of cult. Search the scripture. They testify about what I believe. They show who I am. He said, Brother Phil, you're getting off the line. Well, let me see this. Let's see if I am. He said, oh, if we Christians, if we ministers, we men, women, Pentecostals, the rest of us, if we can't take what God said his church should be, if we can't measure up to the statue that he said, then we can be condemned of sin of unbelief. He said it. If we can't take the scripture and measure up to it, what he said we should be, we can be condemned of unbelief tonight in the house of judgment. We try to say the days of miracles is past and all these other things. And so then we can be accused of unbelief. There's only one sin, that's unbelief. He that believeth not, condemned already. If you're sitting here not believing, you're condemned because you're sitting at the judgment bar being condemned. God's looking at your heart of unbelief and say, why are you not believing? After all I've done for you. After all I've done for you and you still don't confess what I've done for you because you're afraid. Maybe it was just your imagination. See, you don't even get to first base if you don't believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Do we believe that much? Let me read this and I'll try to quit. He said, that's what God wants. That's what God will have. A bunch of people that can say, this is what God will have. Listen, a bunch of people that will say, what has Jesus Christ promised? What has been promised in this last day that hasn't been manifested through us? Oh, I like that. A group of people that can say, what has God promised in this last day that hasn't been manifested through us? There's your boldness. There's your confidence. Because as he is, so are you in this world. Brother Phil, you're just a little bit excited tonight. Well, yes, I am excited. I have a reason to be excited because I look at what Brother Branham said. I say, oh my goodness, he's talking about me. He's talking about us. Amen. You know what really gets me sometimes, just helps me out, is I'll be studying and a thought will come. And I think, yeah, that's God's. He's speaking. And then I'll find a quote that totally backs it up. I say, yes, thank you, Lord. And then I have confidence to come up and preach because I know it was the voice of God that gave it to me. And that's this quote right here. What has been promised in this last day that hasn't been manifested through us? Now you're before the throne of judgment. Where do you stand on that? What has been promised in this day that has not been manifested through you? Can you tell me? He said, well, I don't know if I can or not. Don't worry about it. This ain't an education. If you can't point to anything and say, well, specifically, that's fine. You should be able to, but if you can't, that's fine. Because, your brother and sister, as long as you're living it, as long as you're going forward, you don't have to explain it until God gives you the words to explain it. So, you know, we have to see, it gets, as, well, you know, I got to figure this out now. Well, now, this scripture says this. No, just stop. Just stop. God will give you what you need to say when the time comes to say it. And if he never gives you anything to say, then don't worry about it. He didn't need you to say anything. Don't go to education. Don't go to what I can prove. Well, I got this. I remember this one brother, he said, I got an argument with someone, disagreement, but I got my scriptures lined up. Next time I see him, I'm going to be able to put him in line. Whatever. Come on. That ain't what he's looking for. But if I would stand up here and say, the bride is making herself ready, do you line up with that? Look at your life. Can you be honest with yourself? Be honest. Just say it. Yeah. I am being made ready. Well, sometimes I don't feel like it. See, there you go again. You don't feel like it? as if that has anything to do with anything? Is it happening anyways?
Yes.
How are you being made ready? I go to church, I hear the word, and when the word comes in correction, I accept it. Well, bingo, there you go. Is that not what 1 John 4:17 says? In the day of judgment, boldness because you are like him. It's really this simple, brother and sister. Well, I don't feel like a spiritual Superman. Good. Didn't ask if you felt like anything. I still struggle with really hard battles. Good, that means we're brothers. See, this didn't turn out the way most of us thought it was going to be. I figured by this time we'd be walking around kicking devils over and speaking sheep into existence and all kinds of stuff, you know, like, man, look at those wonderful, amazing Christians. Yeah, that was my imagination. Get born again. You know, the thought, born again, sealed away, can never be lost. Woo, I have no more problems in the world. Didn't turn out that way, did it? He knows how to do it to make it a battle, no matter how much Christ you have in you. You're still going to have a battle. Because when Christ was all of himself, he got to go to Calvary. But he went to Gethsemane first. We still have our Gethsemanes, brother and sister. Yes, sir, we still have our Calvaries. Can I do one more quote, please? I'm going to close my Bible. I just got to do one more. He said, you know, in the heathen world, the heathen put up an idol. They prostrate themselves before the idol, work themselves up into such an emotion until they believe they can hear the idol speak back to them. It's a mental affair. But how vice versa from God's truth? God wants you. He don't want an idol. You are the living image of God. So this is what he's saying. A heathen takes something and puts it up and says, this represents our God. That's a heathen. Now I'm going to go someplace. I don't want you to be uncomfortable, but if you are, I don't care. That is why people with the wrong attitude towards Brother Branham are heathens. Because he's their idol. And they put him up and they say, look, this is what God did. This represents our God. This is Brother Branham. And that's what heathens do. That's not what God wants. He said, you are the living image of God, and you prostrate yourself before God, and he fills you with himself, and you express him as a looking glass, his church. So we want to look at Brother Branham to express God, and he said, I want to look at you to express me. He wants a living person. He wants someone who's walking in flesh to manifest himself through a living person. And when all you can do is look at what he did yesterday, or you put some person up there, you are a heathen. He just said so. Don't get mad at me. They put up something there and say, oh, this represents our God. And talk to any message believer and all they want, there's Brother Branham. Look, I am not putting anything down against Brother Branham, but Brother Branham has come and he's gone. He fulfilled his role. He's in a really great place right now. And someday we're going to go and see him. And I appreciate him more than anyone can imagine. But brother and sister, he's not God. He is not currently manifesting Christ on this earth. You are. And when I say, I got to hear Brother Branham to hear the voice of God, that's idolatry. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of judgment. And you can't have one without the other. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as they did in the wilderness. And they didn't enter the rest because of the hardened hearts of unbelief. Today, hear the voice of God. Today, accept the chastening. boldly. Boldly. How do you do that, Brother Phil? You just say, that was for me. I accept it. That's bold. In humility, the true boldness, humble. That's all he's looking for. It's all he's looking for is some man, some person, someone he can get a hold of and manifest himself through. That's all he's ever wanted. And we're going to present him with religion. Sometimes our religion, well, I believe the doctrine this way. I believe what Brother Van said this way. That's idolatry. That's your God. You're expecting God to speak to that. They said they put them up and they thought they heard God speak to them. People come and they listen to a minister. He preaches the doctrine. He preaches what Brother Branham said. And he preaches so good, I sat in my pew just blown away. Wow. As if God's supposed to speak to that idol of that doctrine. And it's in a mental imagination because God wasn't speaking at all. He wasn't speaking at all. It's heathenism. He wanted someone up in the pulpit who could preach and he could speak to them and talk to his kids, talk to his wife, speak to them, bring them closer to him. And around this message, we've been so enthralled with the great mysteries, how much we know. How much we know. It's an idol. We're heathens when we do that. I've heard some amazing preaching. So have you. You've heard amazing preaching. And I look back at and then over the years and I go to church and I hear these different ministers and I get their tapes and I say, wow. And I look back and I think, how did it help me? How did it change me? I thought I was hearing God speak through that religion. And I look back and I wasn't. If I'd have died then, I'd have been judged as a heathen, rejecting God and believing an idol. You talk about mercy of God, because he kept me alive up to this point. He's kept me alive to recognize the real God, to hear the voice of God. He gave me ears to hear and eyes to see. And when he manifests himself, he gave me eyes to recognize it. Has he done the same for you? Yes, he has. And here you stand before the judgment seat, boldly standing there knowing that no merit of your own, you're a child of God. What did you do? Something inside me just said yes. Something inside me accepted when the chastening came, I died to myself because something was greater. Something in me was greater than my own self. Something was had to have God no matter how much it hurt my flesh. Something had to have God. The real me. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Talk about grace and mercy and love. That's why I'm happy tonight. That's why I'm excited. Because I look in the Bible. I look in the scripture. I see what Brother Branham said and I see myself all over it. So well, you're talking awful big. Yeah, he told me to. He told me to come boldly. He told me to believe. He told me to confess what he's done. People don't like that sometimes when you talk a little too loud, so to speak. You're always bragging on Jesus. You're always talking about what he's done for you. Well, what are you talking about? Amen. Well, I'm talking about my troubles and trials. Well, I'd rather talk to someone who's talking about what Jesus has done for them. It's a little more encouraging. So encourage each other instead of beating each other down, brother and sister. We have an enemy. We need to turn and fight him. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder. So, well, I got something, my brother Gene just irritates me. Well, I need to get over myself. Sister Susie, she grates on me. She's so... No, she's not. It's me. I'm just playing, y'all. Don't take anything personal. Don't get your feelings hurt. Sometimes hurt feelings are the best thing that can happen to us. Ain't that amazing? Well, why do you say that? Because God lets it happen so often so I can grow up. Happened to that at work. Someone said something. I was sitting there and I was like, am I going to say something? I'm going to shut up. And by the grace of God, I shut up. I just sat there a while and then turned away and it was like, what if I would have got, had to defend myself? I'm sorry, I am trying to quit. I've been trying to quit for 20 minutes. Brother and sister, it's time to be like Jesus. They struck him. They spit in his face. Ooh, what if someone spit in your face? Come work with me sometime. You're going to have kids spit in your face. Not me, I don't do that job anymore, but when I worked with the kids, they would spit in your face. They would pee on you. They'd throw feces on you. That's part of the job. What if someone did that because of your belief, because of Christ? You stand before the judgment bar. The judge is asking you, where do you stand? Are you guilty? What do you plead tonight? Are you guilty? He asks you, what are you going to reply? Tell you something, brother and sister. If you say, yeah, I'm guilty, but I claim the blood, and that makes me guiltless before you, your honor, you're never going to see a prouder papa than that. He's going to turn to the prosecuting attorney and say, Satan, this one's faultless. Because you boldly claimed what he did for you. That's all he's looking for. And some people, the unbelieving, the Bible calls them unbelieving, the cowardly, the fearful. They say, well, I've been trying real hard. I've been trying real hard. Satan says, guilty. And the judge says, guilty. Because you don't believe me when I said I died for you. He's asking for your answer. What do you plead? You plead not guilty. You took my guilt away. I stand here guiltless before you. Oh, you're going to stir up the devils then. They're going to, oh, you hypocrite. Look what you did today. Look what you did yesterday. I saw what you did, and you're going to stand there and say you're guiltless? You can't even get along with your wife, and you're going to sit in there and say you're guiltless. Are you going to back down? Are you going to back down because what the devil tells you? You might at first until you get a little more correction. And then you're finally going to get up there and say, I'm guiltless, Your Honor. Your blood has set me free. I claim the blood. I challenge you to confess that. Claim the blood. The It was shed on Calvary. It's not, it wasn't shed in vain for me. I'm taking that. I'll accept that pardon. He didn't die in vain for you and me, brother and sister. Because we've gone through the judgments. We've found our day of salvation. Let's stand. I gotta stop. I mean, it's way late, and I'm sorry but that it's late, but I'm not sorry what he said, because if it didn't do anything for you tonight, he spoke to me, and I'm just so encouraged. Yes, sir. He died for me. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come and speak your heart to us, Lord. Father, to show us who we are, you held up the mirror of your word, and you asked, can you see yourself? What do you see when you look in there? And tonight we saw ourselves, Lord. And oh, God, it was encouraging. And I'm even going to be so bold as to say it was beautiful. Because we saw you in us manifesting. And we see the work you're doing in our lives. And it gives us boldness to say that we have become as you are. And Lord, we are not by there. We're not perfected yet. We're not there yet. But Lord, we are well down the road. We are coming to that place, Lord Jesus, where that perfect faith and perfect love are going to combine together in a perfect rapture. And we're going to go home. We don't have long to go, Lord. This work is heading, you're heading it up quickly. You're getting us there quickly, Lord. Although it seems so much like it just so slow, because growth is slow. But yet when we look at it, we see this shortness of time. We know, Lord Jesus, that you're bringing it to a head. And we're grateful, Father. I just want to say again, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. And Lord Jesus, if someone doesn't understand something or they're having trouble, Satan's pounding them and keeping them from believing, Lord, I ask you, just go to them now, Lord. Go to them now. Open their eyes. Give them the eye salve. They want to believe, Lord. Maybe there's a weakness that Satan has been just hammering him, Lord. Step in there, Lord. Possess that gate. Possess that gate of the enemy tonight, that they can be a believer. Help us to just accept what you said, what you have said to us, what you have called us. You have called us your bride. Oh, Lord, give us faith to accept that and confess it. I ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's late. We're just going to be dismissed. Let's sing a little song as we go. Can't you see where I'm so happy? God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. Can't you see why